And welcome back to Channel 9 Live here at TechEd New Orleans. I'm your host, Brian Keller, and I'm joined by my good friend, Brian Harry. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I think the last time we had you on, we were at the Visual Studio 2012 launch event.
Yeah, I think that's right.
About 9 or 10 months ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, time flies. I mean, you were here this morning at the TechEd keynote announcing Visual Studio 2013.
Yep. It's been a journey.
I want to talk to you about Visual Studio 2013, but before we do, Visual Studio 2012, you shared some momentum numbers around that. Can you just recap that for us? How many people have downloaded that?
Sure, yeah. We've had over 4 million downloads of Visual Studio 2012. It's been amazing. So there's a lot of people out there using it. And then, you know, the other thing that I think is pretty incredible is, you know, we introduced this new Visual Studio update model where we release updates with new capabilities periodically. And, you know, we released update one in November and update two in April, and we're getting ready to release update three here fairly shortly. But I was looking at the data on update two, and within 1 month of releasing update two, over 50% of 2012 users had installed it. So
wow.
I was just blown away.
That's great. So we're continuing to add features there. There's no longer the idea of a service pack, right? This is how you get bug fixes.
Yeah, updates are how we deliver more value, whether it's bug fixes or new features or, you know, whatever it is people want, that's how we do it.
And you're also shipping every 3 weeks to Team Foundation Service, which is our cloud-hosted version.
That's
of Team
right,
Foundation
our cloud service. We use 3 week sprints. Mm-hmm. That's kind of our cadence for our team, and our cloud service ships whatever capabilities are built at the end of that sprint. Now, they're not all visible, so we have this thing we call feature flags that enables us to publish a new capability, but hide it and have it not visible. But then we can selectively turn it on, so we can turn it on for our internal testers and validate it. We also have early adopters that we can enable features for and gather early feedback, and then when we feel like it's ready, we can enable it globally and everybody gets access to it.
That's outstanding. I have to say, as the technical evangelist for all this stuff, you keep me very busy because you guys are always shipping new features. And just when we thought you were done, here comes Visual Studio 2013.
Yeah. So it's a new world.
Yeah, it is. So let's dive into Visual Studio 2013 a little bit. You started off the keynote demo this morning with a feature that looked kind of like last year's project management tooling,
yep,
but now scaling to the entire organization, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, you know, we released some project management tooling, agile project management tooling, we call it, in 2012. That's been incredibly popular. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just gotten lots and lots of good feedback. And then we've continued to evolve it. So we added Kanban support. You know, we did sort of iterative support in 2012. We added Kanban support in update one. We added Kanban customization in update two. We added work item tagging. We just keep evolving it. Kind of the next big direction we're going is what I call enterprise agile, which is how do you take a large number of teams operating with different processes, but often sort of tight loop iterative processes, and figure out how to make sense out of all of that. If I'm an organization of, you know, hundreds of people and I've got dozens of teams, how do I manage that? And that's sort of the fundamental problem we're setting out to solve, starting with the problem of how do I break down the work and track the activity sort of back to my top level business goals.
Right, and what I like about your demos was that it's more than just the hierarchy, right? Because I think a lot of people, you know, that like to operate kind of in their own agile team, they get nervous when you use words like hierarchy.
Sure,
and
sure.
It just, you know, sounds a lot like bureaucracy, right? But what I like about the approach here is that you're allowing agile to scale to the enterprise, but you're also allowing each team to embrace that on their own terms. And so you showed how you can customize a Kanban board, and your customization might be different than your neighbor team's customization.
Absolutely.
So I think that's really great. And you guys dog food these tools, right? When you
build
Visual Studio.
We do. Yeah, the other point I wanted to add to what you're saying is, I mean, every individual feature team, every product owner still gets their own backlog that mm-hmm. they manage, but then those backlogs contribute to kind of the higher organization. And yeah, absolutely, we use them. And, you know, that helps drive a lot of our development is our own use of it, trying to figure out how to get better. You know, we talked a minute ago about our 3 week cadence. And you know, a few years ago, only really a mere 2 years or so ago, we were a team that that shipped every couple years. And, you know, we had long coding periods and we had sort of long stabilization periods. And we've been on a journey to figure out how to organize our team, how to develop software, how to manage the project, to get to the point that we can literally deliver production quality capabilities every 3 weeks. And then that learning goes into our features.
That learning's really important, right? It's interesting when you're shipping cloud services because you actually have full insights into everything that your customers are doing. So you probably know right away whether or not a feature is successful or if people are discovering it. Yeah. And that feeds right back into what you're doing.
Yeah, it's very cool. You know, running a service has a lot of very nice things about it. You know, clearly, anytime we talk about, we touch on this area, you got to talk about privacy. You know,
right,
you got to start there. We got to be super careful about any personally identifying information, anything that we certainly can't go looking at people's source code or anything like that. We're very serious about privacy. But within that, absolutely. Like, we can see what features people are using. We can see how they're using it. We can see how the teams are interacting with each other in an anonymized sense and learn how the service is working for people, and then turn that into learning that we then use on the next sprint. And every sprint is just learning for the next sprint, constantly making it better.
That's great. So the next thing that you showed in your keynote demo this morning was team rooms. So
yeah.
How do team rooms play into this whole team collaboration aspect of TFS?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, and I have a bit of a story to tell here. So, you know, we're on, as I talk about, we're always on a journey, and we're on a journey a bit of ourselves now. So we are in the process of changing buildings, my team. And
okay.
We're going from a very traditional office building where every person has their own office and you know, kind of scattered along a hallway, to physical team rooms. So literally the entire building that we're moving to has nothing but team collaboration spaces. So a room has you know, 8 or 10 people in it working together on a feature. And the theory is that that it helps the team collaborate better, that it improves the flow of information, keeps people up to date. I'll let you know in a year or so how that worked out.
Okay.
But this team room feature that we've built into Team Foundation Server is kind of a virtual equivalent of that. Because you obviously can't do a physical team room for a distributed team, and we actually do have a distributed team. I have people in, you know, on my team in Redmond, in North Carolina, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Amsterdam, Ireland, and I'm probably leaving off of Bulgaria. I mean, it's all over the place. And you can't do a physical team room there. So the virtual team room is sort of the virtual version of that. Is how do I have a place where I can kind of hang out and see everything that's going on in the team, ask questions, see the check-ins, the code reviews, the work items, and just stay up to date with what's happened on the team.
And if you're out sick the previous day, you can go back in time and find out who broke the bill.
That's right.
And all
it's
good
a
stuff.
Durable record. Yep. And I can go back to yesterday. I can go back to last week. I can go back and find out, you know, hey, we made a decision. I don't remember why. Mm-hmm. Let me go track back and find out, you know, why that decision was made.
And just a reminder, speaking of asking questions, you can ask us questions here of Brian Harry. You can just send us a tweet at CH9, I think. Is that right, Larry? CH9? Right, or right on the player page. So we'd love to take your questions here. So we've talked about a lot about project management, some of the stuff that lights up in the web UI. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about actually writing some code.
Absolutely.
Right? And so what I loved about what you showed today was we're getting lots of rich information from TFS, where the code already is, where the work items already are, where we already know what people are doing what, and you're bringing that right into the editor. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, you bet. You know, your source code is sort of the ultimate truth, right? But it's a very concise thing, and there's so much that happens around the source code, context that happens, people changing it over time, tests running and passing or failing, etc. And what we're trying to do is introduce that context into Visual Studio to try to maximize the productivity of developers. So we've implemented a new feature that I think of as a heads-up display. So if you imagine your source code, we want to overlay over your source code in an inobtrusive way, so it doesn't get in your way and it isn't distracting, information about your source code to help you better figure out what's going on and you know what might need to change or what has changed. So we've got we call them code indicators. So there's a number of indicators. We've got a few that will ship in the box, but the truth is, I think we've got a long journey here where we'll keep adding. I suspect in every update we'll add more indicators that provide you more insight into your code. Today we've got some indicators like references. So one of the things, you're working on a method, you want to really easily be able to figure out where's this method called from, because I want to know what am I affecting, what might I be breaking. So really easily see what code calls this method. Tests is another one. So you know I'm coding and building and coding and building, and you know at any point there I might break a test, I might make a change. We've got a background test runner that's constantly running tests, and if you break something, big red dot shows up immediately over top of your method.
Or if somebody else broke something, you know who to blame.
Yeah, that's right.
You can see the history right there.
Absolutely.
So we have a question from Dan. Dan says, what is the reason for the new feature compared to user stories? Can you explain what we intend people to do with those? I think he's going back to the hierarchical work items.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, so the reason is just to provide a hierarchical breakdown. And the idea, you know, we can debate whether feature is the right name. What we wanted to for the default out-of-the-box template was keep it really simple. So we just wanted to add one additional level. We chose the name feature. But the idea is it's a higher level concept than user story. We could have called it scenario. We could have called it epic. We could have called it a number of things. But it's an aggregation of a bunch of user stories that might ultimately be implemented by many Scrum teams within your organization. So that's what it's about, but it's customizable.
Sure.
So, you know, I think we toyed around with more formal models that we think enterprises would want to use, where you might have a level called something like business initiative, and a level below that, you know, called scenario, and a level below that called feature, and a level below that called user story. But it'll be up to the organization for what works for them. The out-of-the-box one will be simple.
That's great. We have another question here from Zippy V. So he's talking about the fact that we support Git now as part of as a version control option for TFS. So what about Mercurial?
So, you know, it's certainly something we've talked about. And every once in a while, we get a request for Mercurial or others.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, it's not something we're focused on. We're focused on making sure TFS is a great integrated application lifecycle management solution for Team Foundation version control for centralized version control and Git for distributed version control. Whether or not we ever do more than that will just depend on demand, and you know we'll see.
All right. So Edward Quintana is giving you a softball question here, Brian. How do I get my hands on Visual Studio 2013?
The answer is we'll be releasing our first public preview of it later this month, along with the Build conference. I think it's June 26th mm-hmm. is the date.
That's right.
But you have to wait till then, unfortunately. But stay tuned. I'll announce it as soon as it's available.
So the preview on June 26th, and then the final release, I think we're saying sometime this
later
year.
Later this year. We haven't announced a date, and quite honestly, the details will depend somewhat on the feedback that we get and you know how that goes with the preview, but we're pretty confident that we're in good shape and it'll be later this year.
I've been playing with the builds for a while now and it's really high quality. In fact, you guys are licensing it with a Go Live license, meaning you can use it in production. That applies to both TFS and Visual Studio, and we'll help you upgrade to the final release as well.
Yeah, it's funny, we have a system that we upgrade our own dog food, our own internal system, every sprint. So in fact, it's one of our stages before we update the cloud service.
Mm-hmm.
We update our own system. So the preview, what will be the preview, has been in use in our team by hundreds and hundreds of people for months. And we feel pretty good about it. I'm sure people will find some bugs and we'll fix them as soon as we find out about them, but we feel good about it.
That's great. You said hundreds and hundreds of people, which reminded me of another feature you disclosed today, which is that we're bringing load testing to the cloud.
Yeah, so you know, we've had load testing since mm-hmm. Visual Studio 2005, and it's a great feature. We use it in Team Foundation Server constantly. I mean, every week we're running load tests. because we deploy every 3 weeks, and we've got to make sure that that we scale. But you know, the truth is, managing the infrastructure for doing load tests can be a pain. Nobody wants to manage all that stuff. So we thought it was a perfect scenario for the cloud, and we think it's a good partner to Azure, because Azure provides a scalable platform that makes it super easy for you to scale your application, to have your infrastructure grow with you. So wouldn't it be nice to have a load testing solution to verify that your application is in fact actually scaling as you add Azure infrastructure to it? It's coming as part of Visual Studio 2013. The service will be hosted on Team Foundation Service. You create your load test in Visual Studio the same way you always have, and then you just set your test settings to use the cloud and hit run. And your tests get uploaded, and your tests run, and you get your load results within a few minutes.
That's great, and I love the fact that you can use that not only for websites, traditional web applications, but you can use it for web services as well. So if you're building a mobile application and you want to find out what happens when, you know, thousands of people are filing, you know, Yelp reviews or that kind of thing, then you can just capture that traffic maybe in Fiddler and play that back as part of a load test. Yeah. So that's really great.
And you know, we've been using the new service now for Team Foundation Server for the past 2 months or so, where we do all of our weekly load testing using the service. And you know, I've been talking with my team. The first few weeks was a little rough, and they had some reliability issues. But the last month or so, they're just like, wow, this is so much easier that we would never go back to managing our own load test infrastructure.
That's great. So you've talked a lot about how your own team is grappling with all of these releases. You've got quarterly updates that are coming out, or every few months you've had updates coming out. You have updates to Team Foundation Service. You've got Visual Studio 2013 coming out, your own dog food releases. That's a lot of releases, and I imagine that you guys must have just, you know, a lot of complexity in dealing with that. So I was really pleased when you announced today that we've reached an agreement to acquire InCycle, and
in release
we've acquired InRelease, which is made by InCycle. Thank you. And what I love about them is they actually already integrate with TFS.
Yeah, they've done a really good job. I mean, we've watched that product evolve over the last couple years, and talked with them and given them feedback on how to make it a great add-on to our lifecycle solution, and it was just a natural fit for us ultimately to sort of add it more officially to our lifecycle solution. So I'm pretty excited about it.
So what does InRelease do for me?
Well, fundamentally, InRelease is about helping you solve that impedance mismatch between sort of the speed at which the development team iterates and the rate at which the operations team can take change into production. And it's about helping you create reliable, repeatable paths from kind of the developer desktop into the production environment that automates as much of it as possible while providing the appropriate oversight, review, and auditing of everything that's happening, and ultimately help you iterate from idea to implementation to usage and feedback as quickly as possible and make your software better.
So what do you say to the operations person that says, whoa, wait a minute, I need to control these releases? You know, it used to be that we shipped a new version of software every 6 to 12 months, and you can kind of, you know, brace for it, but now you want to ship every 3 weeks. How do you handle that?
Yeah, it's tricky. So, you know, if you're talking about somebody who's trying to adopt Team Foundation Server, and, you know, I had a question on my blog today about that of, you know, what do? We're getting ready to deploy Team Foundation Server 2012. Do we wait for 2013? And, you know, my answer was, look, we're evolving now at a rate you can't. You know, if you want to wait, if that's your strategy, you'll never upgrade, because there'll always be something you want 3 months from now. So, you know, you just have to pick, and you may not take everyone. You know, maybe you'll take update one, and you'll skip update two, and you'll then go to update three. You've got to decide on a pace that works for you. We're going to deliver value. We're going to be very clear with you about what that value is, so you can decide how important it is to you, and then you just pick the points at which you want to upgrade.
That's great. So I like the transparency that you've shared with your own evolution down this journey, and you blog a lot, and you post mea culpas when things do go wrong, and you're really transparent. I think our customers love that about getting insights into how we're embracing that. We've got a couple minutes. Do you have any lessons learned for teams that are moving into this continuous delivery model? What is maybe the one biggest surprise over the last year for you?
Wow, it's hard to distill it down to one big surprise. I will say early on, one of my biggest surprises was how important sort of the upgrade path was. Because I was used for most of my career to delivering sort of packaged product. And in a packaged product, you know, you focus on the install experience, and it's all about install. And we'd have, you know, people would uninstall software and reinstall software, and they'd take their server down for a few hours to do an upgrade. But in the cloud, you can't ever go down, and you only ever install one time. From then on, it's upgrade. So figuring out how to get through that, service is always up, software is always changing, multiple versions in production at a time, is something you have to just completely rethink the way you think about deploying your software, and it was a big eye-opener for me.
That's great. So we have a question from Guillermo Taylor. He's asking if the foundational sessions will be available for viewing later on. We did mention several times how we showed a lot more demos. We spent about, I'd say, 45 minutes in demos.
Yeah.
And yes, all of the foundational sessions from TechEd this week, all of the breakout sessions, the keynote, they'll all be online for you at Channel 9 for free for download. Usually within 24 hours after each session has been delivered, it will be available for you online. So please go check that out. The slide decks, for the most part, are available as well. And maybe just as a parting thought here, Visual Studio 2013 coming out later this month. How do people give us feedback?
So, you know, a lot of ways. Sort of user voice is always a great opportunity to give us suggestions if you would like to see something we didn't think about. The forums is another great opportunity to go and ask questions and give feedback. Connect.microsoft.com, another great way to give us feedback. So we love feedback. We want as much feedback as we can get, and we'll provide as many channels and opportunities for you guys to do that as possible.
That's right. So once again, just download that preview. It's a go live release at the end of the month. We would love for you to put it in production and tell us what you think. And that way Brian's team can take that feedback and make it the best release of Visual Studio and Team Foundation Server everywhere.
Everywhere?
I don't know why I said that. It's been a
Team
long
Explorer
day.
Team Explorer everywhere.
Team Explorer everywhere. There we go. So thanks for joining us on Channel 9, and we'll have more content up for you next. Thanks.